Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Congresswoman, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning and happy new year, fellas. It's good to be back.
Yeah, I hear that. Same way, like the regimentation and routine part of it. But nothing's ever routine in the business of government or radio, really, when things are changing. For instance, this fraud story out of Minnesota is huge. But I got to tell you, like, I bought three newspapers today, the Jacksonville Times-Union, the Gainesville Sun, and USA Today. Not one of them has a single article about it in today's edition about this fraud.
Wow. And, I mean, are we surprised? The legacy media has always been incredibly biased, and it doesn't really surprise me at all that they haven't covered what has been disclosed thus far. I mean, billions of dollars in fraud, as we know. In fact, more fraud than what the annual GDP of Somalia is has been uncovered. And then, of course, today, the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, who has announced that he's not seeking reelection, he's going to be testifying in front of oversight today about the fraud. So pretty shameful on the part of legacy media not to be covering this. But are we surprised? Not really. And that's why I think independent journalism and shows like y'all are so important.
Well, yeah, I agree. And Governor Walz, boy, he gave a fiery speech the other day. And what did he say over my dead body? He's like acting like he's going to protect Minnesota. It's like, dude, you were on the gig. You were on the job. This all happened on your watch. How's he going to try to wriggle out of this?
That man is deeply confused. It's almost as though he was hunting in Canada with a gun that he doesn't know how to use and accidentally walked over into Minnesota. I mean, he seems to always be a little bit confused about where he is and what he's doing. And he's going to find out when it comes to it that, you know, oh, I was responsible for this. I mean, we all know he knows, but it's just he gives off the clueless vibe more than anything. But the thing that is really bothersome to me is, of course, yes, the fraud in Minnesota, we know it's there. We know that there were people complicit in it at the state level, but it's happening in other states. And so we know it's there. We know it's real. And then this week in Congress, you're looking at Congress passing three appropriation bills that have earmarks in them that go to Somali NGOs for Learning centers. They don't call them learning centers. They call them Learning centers. And I'm like, wait a minute, guys. I thought we were talking about curbing the fraud, not perpetuating the fraud. So you have members of Congress up here doing the exact same thing, saying, oh, we're going to fight the fraud, but oh, let me get my earmarks first. I'm really proud to say that we've never done earmarks. I think that they are truly a source of abuse of taxpayer funds. And it's more of the same out of Washington. And so that's one of the big fights that we're having this week up here on Capitol Hill is curbing the earmarks, the use of earmarks. Billions of dollars of taxpayer money from Florida are going to go to pet projects around the country in blue cities and states. And it's just wrong. It is absolutely wrong. So get ready for a big fight on that this week.
Yeah. And the Republicans are going to fight, right? You're not accepting of this clearly, but are all the other Republicans, as far as you know, on board?
Well, I'm the only Republican in the state of Florida delegation that does not do earmarks. Every other Republican does earmarks. And so it's pretty frustrating, you know. It's very much a David and Goliath when you have effectively everyone else doing it and only a handful of people who are saying, wait a minute, I think this is wrong, because then you're rewarding bad behavior. I think that it's a pretty tough fight, but it's one worth having because, as we all know, we got $38 trillion in national debt. We're garnishing the wages of our kids and our grandkids, who I'm sure you can hear Augie in the background. She's very excited about us tackling earmarks. and so it's just a little frustrating because you got people who are good members and they talk a good talk, but when it comes down to it, many of them are engaged in much of the same behavior.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I mean, how frustrating is that? Especially while this stuff is going on. I mean, at the very least, you'd say, hey, look, this is not the time to ask for more money for these NGOs related to anything with, the Somalians, the government in Minnesota. I mean, this would be the time to go, no, you know what? Why don't you bring that up again, you know, next year at the very least?
Exactly.
And, yeah. All right. And let's move on. So still getting talk about dealing with insider trading in Congress. What's the current state with that?
You know, I think we're seeing some real movement on it. Chip Roy has a great bill that myself and a few other of our colleagues are original co-sponsors are, and we're pushing for this because it's a no-brainer. Members of Congress have access to information that gives us an unfair advantage. You should not have the capacity to buy and sell individual corporate stocks. That is, I think, a 99% of Americans would agree with that type issue. And so that is actually going to see the light of day. I think whether or not leadership brings that up is another matter, but you could see it in the form of a discharge petition. I think that's important in helping restore the trust. But again, it's a little bit funny to me that you have individuals who are pushing for this stuff. I personally don't own any individual corporate stocks, never have. But the people who are talking a big game about this, they're actually engaging in it. They're buying and selling corporate stocks. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is this do as I say and not do as I do? Or, I mean, we have to have members of Congress who are actually walking the walk, not just talking the talk. And so we're trying to rally people to get to that point. But they actually have to stop doing that in the first place in order for it to go somewhere. Because it's a little bit hollow when you have members saying that they want to do it, but then they're engaging in the behavior.
Yeah, what's the other thing? You better get it while the getting's good, because this might be shut down soon, and that's sad. But, President Trump, I'm a big fan, and I'm pretty sure you are as well. But, you know, sometimes he goes too far. Sometimes he talks too much. We can all admit that. We question how some of the things, why he says some of the things. But earlier I said, let's give him the benefit of the doubt because, you know, when they said, hey, they're spying on me, you know, everybody goes, yeah, you're crazy. That's a little paranoia. Well, indeed, they absolutely were. And he's been right on several other things like that. So here's the $64,000 question for you this morning. What's up with Greenland? What is really going on there? Because right now it's hard to defend the things that he's saying, and Stephen Miller as well. So what's the real deal? What's the long game on Greenland, if you can share that with us?
Well, actually, I'm going to be in a classified hearing this afternoon to talk about Venezuela and Greenland. As it was announced yesterday, Caroline Leavitt mentioned that Greenland is very much on the table. And listen, I think that there is a national security angle that we have here. There's no question that Russia and some folks that aren't particularly friendly to us, they want to leverage that territory as a means of access. And so there's a real play here. But what we can't support is another engagement where we don't have, one, the authorization of Congress, and two, if it doesn't pose a direct threat to the United States. And so I think that what the president wants to accomplish can be done through some treaties, through negotiations. It doesn't require military action, and I think that's what we should be pushing for, because there is a national security angle to address here. But we should not be putting boots on the ground. We should not be doing that unless there is an absolute direct immediate threat to the United States.
Yeah, look, the population of Greenland is not substantial, but Denmark is in charge. Why can't we make a deal with them and say, hey, we'll make this a huge AI base, you know, build a power plants, nuclear power plant, an AI base, and then we'll share that with you.
Yep, I think I think diplomacy will prevail in the end on this. So stay tuned for more on that.
Absolutely. Congresswoman Kat Kamick, always appreciated, and keep fighting the good fight.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one, and go Gators.